Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Wow, I can't believe all the response that we've gotten to our summer letters so far. We send out, I think, around between 24 and 2,500 summer letters, and we want to thank everybody that has participated so far. And we've mentioned it before, but for any kind of a volunteer or listener-supported charity type of thing, donations always go down
in the
summertime.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, if you think about it, our lives are kind of disrupted in the summer. The kids are out of school. Sometimes lots of people go away for the summer.
Sure.
They go to the lake cottages, or they go to a summer home, or it's a disruption, a happy disruption.
Sure.
But the bills sometimes get jumbled up, and your regular routines, you sometimes get sidetracked a little bit. You know what I loved about this summer letter?
What's that?
Actually, I like this about our letter all the time. You always seem to come up with something catchy on the outside of the envelope.
We try.
To get them to open it up. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, let's face it, Jim. How many times have you gotten, a solicitation, and you know that it's a solicitation, and it goes straight from your mailbox into the trash? Right?
Yeah.
But you did. I'm not going to say what it is, but you did put something that was quite clever and quite relevant on the outside of the envelope, and then followed it up on the
inside. It did have to do with fake news and the good news. And the good news is with uppercase letters, the good news of salvation.
I thought it was cute to bring in the fake news part.
Anyhow, if you have responded, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your generosity. If you haven't, that letter is still kicking around the house.
Dig it out
if you can. Include a check in there and send that back to us. We'd sure appreciate it. If you've thrown it away with the rest of the mail,
there's still an opportunity.
You can still go to our website and donate there. CatholicRadioIndy.org. And just a quick plug for an event coming up here on September 12th, this year's annual Catholic Radio Dinner. Going to be a great, fun event again at the Northside Knights of Columbus. And we are still in need of items for both our silent auction for smaller kind of mid-size items, and then our live auction. The live auctions are a lot of fun, but they're very time consuming. So we have to limit it to three or four or five maybe big items. Maybe a week in your condo, or a week tickets to a particularly hard to get event, or
something like that. Last year, I don't know where this came from, but someone donated a real fancy chef cooking in someone's home. It was, I think, for four people maybe, but that went for an exorbitant amount of money, because I think it was some incredible blue ribbon chef who was well known or something.
I have to be careful how I say this.
Not
as blue ribbon-ish as that particular chef. We have two priests.
Yes, we do.
Who are going to be cooking dinners as well.
Now, wait a second, Jim.
I was just saying that
I was the recipient. Stan Schenner and I split so we could put more money in last year. And we actually got one of the priests, Father Metzger. And that was pretty daggone good. I'm telling you, he had his recipe cards out. He had a table full of alcohol as aperitifs and appetizers. It was fancy. It was fancy.
Well, I'll tell you,
loved
that's going
it.
To be one of
loved
several.
It. Well
several
worth the
this
money.
Year. Father Dan Gartland from Holy Spirited Guy says,
yep.
I can cook better than he can.
Right.
Well, that isn't exactly what he said, but
there's a little bit of a competitive spirit going on, which is good.
Dinner cooked, four people, I believe, by each of those priests, and they're both very, very good cooks. And so That'll just be a couple of the items that you'll have a chance to bid on, but you got to show up to do that. That is our dinner, September 12th. You'll be hearing about it here on the radio. You'll also be able to register on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Our guest on Faith in Action today is Michael Chaperon. He's the Executive Director for Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
You know, I'm trying to think how you came onto our radar, and I think that our receptionist Patty, was involved in an event that you had and was so excited about it, the opportunity, and thought really that we needed to raise more awareness for this wonderful group. And so she let us know, and I thought, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, we always like to hear good things and support them. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about your family first, what side of town you live on, how long you've been married.
Sure. My family, we live at near Holiday Park in Indianapolis on the north side, probably up the hill from Meridian and 66th. My wife, Angela, is a nurse at Methodist Hospital, and we've been married 10 years this December, although I need to check the inscription on my ring. I know it. And we have two small children, a 6-year-old Noah and a 3.5-year-old Autumn Grace, really.
Oh, God bless you. Thanks. Oh, well, you're just, gosh, this is the fun part, 3 and 6. Oh, yeah.
I have to remember it is the fun part. I know it is.
Take lots of pictures.
Especially the 3-year-old. They can be so fickle. They're so fun, and you want to, hey, sure, let's go to the store and do this. Yeah, well, yeah. Who knew they were going to scream the whole time?
Oh, sure, sure. And they're also very different. One is a great eater, and the other one won't touch any foods. And the other one is just a great sleeper, and the other one won't, you know, they're opposites.
Oh, yeah.
They're opposites.
Oh, yeah. That's the wonder is you think, I always love the saying to hear a young mom say or a media dad say, you know, I don't know why they're so different. I raised them all the same. And, you know, that's so funny because it's impossible to raise them all the same.
Oh, sure.
You're
sure.
A different parent with your 6-year-old than you are with your 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. You are a different person, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we may have the same rules, but we do different. We raise our kids differently. So, and I think it's wonderful they're unique, you know.
I do too. It shows God's imprint on us. Yep.
Well, and you're kind of in a great position to be involved with this initiative because you have the benefits and blessings of an intact family and a roof over your head and an income, you know, that comes in on a regular basis. And you said, I think your wife was a nurse.
Yes.
So, I mean, blessings abound. So I think that you are in a unique opportunity to be of help for this particular initiative. So Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. So that means I couldn't tell what you did by that name. And I understand that you've undergone a name change. So let's go back to the roots and tell us, first of all, how this even came about. What
sure.
is it?
Sure. Thanks. So 24 years ago in Carmel, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton invited a speaker on, I think it was a random Wednesday night. The speaker was from Jersey, and her name was Karen Olson. And she had founded the first ever Interfaith Hospitality Network. And I can talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But in a nutshell, it's a group of congregations who use their existing facilities to house families who are experiencing homelessness. Because the average homeless person is 9 years old. But sometimes we picture a cardboard sign on the exit ramp.
Sure, yeah.
But families make up half of the homeless population. Families meaning with children. So a gentleman named Dean Lindsay had just retired as a researcher in veterinary medicine from Elanco. He went to the presentation. Roughly 7 people attended, I hear, but he had just retired. He felt a call in his heart, and he recruited congregations to start this here. So our original name was the Interfaith Hospitality Network. And those 8 congregations that started, including St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and St. Louis de Montfort in Fishers, those were 2 Catholic ones that were part of it. They covered 52 weeks of the year between all of them and hosted 4 families. And when a family moved out, a new family they took in.
Oh my goodness, 52 weeks of the year, 4 families.
Yes.
Okay, so I know that our listeners are thinking the same thing because you basically, if I heard you correctly, you said that the parishes use the plant that they have in place to house these people.
Yes.
So how does that look? I mean, are they in part of the school? Are they in part of the rectory, hospitality rooms? I mean, what does the school or parish have other than the parish hall? Well, most of them have bathrooms and showers, though. So how does it look? If you were to insert a family into a parish right now, what kind of facilities would they need to have or do they use?
Sure, and I get that question a lot as we actively recruit new congregations right now. Some congregations will use a Catholic school next door because in the summer it is empty. And if you plan to re-wax the floor or reseal it these 2 weeks, you use these classrooms as rooms. And if you plan in these rooms, you use the other classrooms that are done to host. So you can always work out and find a space in your building. Others have a youth ministry center where we plan in a year and ahead to make our schedule. So if you can take 4 weeks of the year and not do youth programming in your building, it can be available to families. So everybody does it a little bit differently, but there's a small congregation in Hawville on the west side of Indianapolis that is our smallest hosting congregation, and they still make it work in rooms that they have. So it is possible. If you're worried about showers or laundry facilities, the families who aren't working, most families are working, but those who aren't in jobs and kids who are too young for school and don't yet have daycare, you go to our day center where my office is. We have a day center near downtown Indianapolis where we have a computer lab and laundry facilities and showers. So if you don't have those things, we provide those at the day center.
You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking of the couple parishes that we have been involved with in my experience in Indianapolis. And interestingly enough, they host retreats, women's retreats, where we spend the night in the gymnasiums or in classrooms. They have showers because of the schools that are available. So, gosh, I never thought of it that way. But whoever came up with the brilliant idea of repurposing, brilliant.
Sure. And Karen Olson did it in Jersey. And now there's 200. We're a local independent nonprofit, but we're Family Promise is a national nonprofit, and we are one of 200 affiliates in the network. So there's 200 cities doing this.
Okay. So, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you've got, we talk about, you say interfaith. I don't know what used, I think I don't know.
You had said ecumenical before.
And the difference between ecumenical and interfaith is.
Well, I'm not a pastor, but my understanding is ecumenical represents all the Christian denominations, and when you say interfaith, it includes non-Christian congregations,
everybody.
Jewish and Hindu and Buddhist and Muslim.
Right, sure, everybody. So if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Michael Chaperon, he's the executive director of the Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. I do want to hear about your name change because I thought that was kind of interesting. It was talking about your mission change a little bit.
Sure.
The idea didn't change. The concept didn't change. But your name changed a little bit.
Sure.
I do want to point out that there are lots and lots of Catholic churches and schools, along with big Lutheran schools and Methodist schools here in Indianapolis. But you've got a wealth of resources at your fingertips in which to tap into.
Sure, there's a lot of potential congregations that just don't know it yet, that just don't know that they might be called to this yet. So thank you for letting us get the word out.
We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Catholic Radio Indy.
There's lives being touched every single day by it.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Michael Chaperon. He is the executive director for Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. And right before the break, we were talking about the host of Catholic schools and churches, along with Methodist and Lutheran and all other kind of churches we have in Indianapolis area, that have the potential for serving a need that you have discovered, and we had no idea. I mean, no idea. It's really pretty incredible that the need was identified. We have the space available, and this could be a wonderful partnership. But tell us more, because we have parish priests that listen, we have pastoral associates, we have teachers, we have parents, and of course they could go to their pastor and say, "You'll never believe what I heard on the radio the other day." So talk to us a little bit. You did change your name, which I thought was kind of curious. I loved the reason you changed it, and tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. A few years back, everybody knew us as Indianapolis Interfaith Hospitality Network, which is a mouthful, but it's our values in our name. And we found that some families, after they left our program, came back and needed ongoing support. You know, 30 days, 60 days in a shelter is not going to change a life of under-resourced education sometimes, or trauma in somebody's life. So we created a program that is called Aftercare, where we have a case manager, a social worker, visit families in their homes for up to 2 years after they leave our shelter program. So IHN, the Interfaith Hospitality Network, was not our only program anymore, so we developed a bigger umbrella name to fit all these programs in, Aftercare and IHN, and that's Family Promise, which means two things. The promise that every family, the potential that they have, we want to honor that as volunteers serving them and the staff social worker serving them. But also, it's our promise to keep a family together through their time of crisis. When we were founded, and for decades, the largest shelters in most cities around our nation split up families by gender, and we wanted to, our value is keeping a family together through their most trying times.
And that is a challenge. I mean, that is a challenge. I was thinking off the top of my head, the only one that came to mind that I'm aware of is a Holy Family shelter downtown, kind of in the Hawville area, and we help out with that, volunteer with that. I had forgotten about Dayspring. You mentioned Dayspring. Didn't even think about that one. That didn't come to mind. But there is a great need. I'm curious, though, about how you teach them to fish, because I do think that it's important that you not just house them and feed them, but actually give them the tools, the job-seeking, you know, tools, so that they can help support themselves and go further. So how do you do that? What kind of programs do you have available? What kind of resources do you have available to you that you can kind of assist these people in need?
Sure. So when a family comes to us after all the intake, we have a full-time MSW social worker that works with them. And she will do everything from referrals. The order we do is childcare, employment, and housing. So she will refer to childcare, talk about the paths to quality scale for measuring the quality of a childcare in Indianapolis, how to apply, coordinate with them to get immunizations and things. Then employment. We will help a family refer to Dress for Success so they can be adequately clothed and have that resource. We'll work on job and interview skills. We will use our connections so that if some families that come to us have obstacles to employment, maybe a spotty work history, maybe a misdemeanor a couple years ago that, you know, in a competitive field they might not get. So we will help vouch for the families to get employment. And then once they have employment, while they're saving up for housing, we are there with them to help navigate interpersonal issues that might come up on the job. And by having childcare in place and employment in place, it greatly increases the chances that housing will be sustained. And when a family saves up for their first month's rent, we have a fund, thanks to a major donor, called the Family Assistance Fund. We'll pay the security deposit. And then how we teach to fish is we continue the budgeting exercises, the parenting skill development, and everything that social worker's been doing for up to 2 years in the aftercare program.
Now this is mainly done through churches, parishes, schools, that sort of thing?
So there's two elements to the shelter program, the IHN program, and that's during the day, our social worker will meet with the families, and if they are working full-time, she'll visit them at night. But the congregational volunteers are the ones who provide food and hospitality and activities for the kids. So to sign up for this as a congregation, you don't have to have social workers every night there. You just need to be welcome people with open arms and without judgment.
That's what I was going to ask you. My next question is, what kind of a commitment does a parish have to make? I mean, they say, yeah, we want to do this. What are they putting themselves on the hook for?
Yeah, good question.
Sure. Thanks for that question. So we require 3 to 4 weeks a year that you would host each year. And there's a trailer with 16 rollaway beds and a van that can hold 15 people that shows up on Sunday afternoon from the previous congregation. They drop it off to you. You set up those beds after Mass on Sunday. You put signs on the door that your youth ministry is colored on and decorated saying, welcome to our home. It's your home this week.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you can get 70 people from your congregation involved. And then you have volunteers cook the meal that night when the families arrive. You have a van driver pick up the families at the day center and bring them to the congregation. You have van drivers in the morning, take them back to the day center so that they can get to work and school. The one volunteer position that is my favorite when I volunteer is the overnight host. You just sleep. sleep for 8 hours. Might not be in the most comfortable rollaway cot, but it works. So that's what you sign up for. You can do weeks back to back, which is helpful for the families to decrease the, if they're in the program 6 to 8 weeks, it decreases how many transitions there are.
Sure.
Although I should say the kids love the transitions because it's like, are they going to have tricycles in the gym this week? Are they going to do bingo this week? On kids, it's a wonderful.
You know, it seems to me, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, Michael Chaperon, he is the executive director of Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. It seems to me like this is an opportunity that you're offering parishes for community building, for service building, and for offering something that we have in place to someone that is in need. And of course, that is service is our middle name as Catholics. It is our middle name. And we are always looking for opportunities. It seems to me this would be a great team building exercise for a youth group, a high school youth group going to confirmation classes, and we're always looking for opportunities, service opportunities for confirmation hours. Mom's group, the Knights of Columbus, could get involved with the cooking. Most of the parishes, most Catholic parishes, have kitchens in which you can cook the food right on the premise, you know. So this sounds like a natural fit.
I think so. Indianapolis Hebrew Congregation, as an example, has been hosting for over 20 years, and they have almost like a different group from their congregation take a day of the week. The youth group takes Monday, as you were talking about, confirmation group. A women's group takes Tuesday. So there's a lot of different, I don't know what days they actually take them, but as an example. So there's a lot of different ways the whole congregation or parish, in this case, could get involved. Yeah.
Now, how large is the need? I assume you don't have any problem filling the slots. And I'm also wondering how you decide if the need is bigger than the supply that you have, how you decide who becomes a part of the program.
Thank you. So there's two needs that I talk about. The first one is, and I'm holding up a paper to you right now that has 90 days, blocks for 90 days on it. It's just full of tally marks. And it also has a coffee stain from our reception desk and a butterfly colored on it in crayon. But it's just full of tally mark after tally mark after tally mark. That's every family we turn away from our shelter because we're full. And Dayspring has, I think, 14 rooms for families, and Holy Family has 22 rooms, and they have the same numbers of turning families away. So, yeah, it's not hard being full. We have constant calls, and we do same-day intakes for that reason. The other need we have is for congregations to help meet some of the needs of those represented by those tally marks. We have two congregations hosting four families each every night. So we cover 52 weeks of the year, or try to, with two congregations a night, but we call those the two rotations. On rotation two, we shut it down for 17 weeks of the year because we don't have enough congregations. Those who are existing are tapped out at 4 weeks max, and there are many congregations that we're reaching out to now intensely. We just had New Bethel Baptist downtown sign up, so we're really happy about that. They're in Martindale Brightwood neighborhood of Indianapolis.
So I know there are people that are listening right now and thinking, what do I do? I love this idea. I'm a youth leader. I have a great group of kids. I know that I can talk to my pastor. What do I do? So what do I do? How much lead time will I need at my parish to get this? Because we're at the end of summer. I mean, we're talking beginning of August right now. We're at the beginning of August. Your need goes on all year round. I mean, we only have schools that are available. Of course, we've got breaks and things like that, but the need doesn't stop just because the schools and parishes are full, right? Mm-hmm. So what do I need to do? How do I contact you? What do I need?
Sure. So www.fpgi, Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis, fpgi.org/IHN. It says it has a link to everything about the IHN program to host families, and it has our contact information. We are scheduling for 2018 now, and for the first time ever, we are starting January 1st with both rotations completely full.
Oh my goodness.
And we're planning our closure for October of 2018, that closure I talked about for 17 weeks. In other words, I've taken a leap of faith and started out at the beginning of the year full. Even though our demand in the winter is actually the lowest, we're starting full in the winter because I prayed to my favorite saint, St. Catherine of Siena, and said, we'll get the congregation. So we need to get congregation signed up by October 1st, 2018.
Now,
so you have time.
You have
to do the discernment, get the alarm clocks and everything else.
Now, the name of your organization is Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. Where what does that cover besides Indianapolis?
Sure. We primarily recruit congregations in Marion County, and we have a lot of congregations in southern Hamilton County because that's where we started. There's a separate Family Promise of Hendricks County, there's one forming, Family Promise of Hamilton County. And through contacting me through our website, fpgi.org, I can connect you to either of those, or you could Google them, of course. And because they all will need congregations as well.
You know, it's interesting as I did Google you, and I was surprised that actually it's a national organization. It's all across the country. But Barbara Bush actually came on the radar several years ago. How did that happen? Do you have any idea?
Sure. Well, as Karen Olson, the founder, established her affiliate in New Jersey, and then she traveled the nation and other affiliates like ours started, we became, even though we're an independent 501c3, we became the largest network responding to the crisis of family homelessness. And so Karen Olson accepted from the Bush administration, Barbara Bush specifically, the First Lady, a Point of Light Award, which is a great honor for a nonprofit to receive. And so the national office received that, and it's just a great honor.
Pretty incredible. Now, we just have a little over a minute, maybe a couple minutes left. Do you have fundraising events? Do you have some big deal? I mean, once a month, once a year, semi-annually?
Sure. Our claim to fame is a dessert auction called Home Sweet Home. Home Sweet Home.
I love it.
It's October 5th at the Willows in Broad Ripple. And it's on our website too. But after we listen to somebody who went through our program, a success story, give their testimony about what's hard and the challenges, but also the successes, tables that come bid on the right to pick their dessert first from the dessert table. And there's so many gourmet desserts represented from local restaurants.
Home Sweet Home.
Yes.
Love it. I love it. What a great idea. Okay, our guest today on Faith in Action, Michael Chaperon. He is the executive director of Family Promise of Greater Indianapolis. We just have about 30 seconds left. Again, if you would reiterate, if someone's interested and they're listening and they're thinking, gosh, this is deserving, this is something that we need to be involved with, what do they do?
It just starts with a phone call or an email, and then we'll take it from there. Just find our contact info at fpgi.org, fpgi.org. We will meet with the pastor or the ministry committee or whomever makes the decisions at your congregation.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marion University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.